This segment's for everybody, but especially for those of you who may have been having the same conversation over and over again lately about Trump this or America in trouble that, and maybe you've been using the word dysfunction more than you used to use the word awesome. Huh? Does that sound familiar? I've got something for you. Bob Graham is someone I've known for a long time. He's been Florida's senator and governor. He's a skilled Washington, D.C. insider when he wants to be, and an eloquent advocate and activist, an outsider when he needs to be. He admits that the 2016 election took him by surprise, but in the weeks since, he believes the disaffection and alienation people have expressed toward Washington, feelings that got Donald Trump elected, offer a lesson for an aging democracy. Forget the federal government, Graham says. It's time to go local. The former chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, founder of the Bob Graham Center for Public Service, is author of America, the Owner's Manual, You Can Fight City Hall and Win. Graham wants you to know that the next important political movement could be hatched at your kitchen table.
One that's well known is Mothers Against Drunk Driving. That organization started in a living room in Sacramento, California, of mothers, some of whom had children who'd been killed by a drunk driver. They were grieving, but they decided they wanted to do more than grieve. They wanted to try to solve or at least mitigate the problem. So they had as one of their first objectives to move the age of drinking from 18 to 21. They then had the question of how do you do that? They did it quickly in their home state of California, but they realized how difficult it was going to be to get the other 49 states to participate. So they went to Washington, where there was a former Californian named Ronald Reagan as president, and they convinced him to use the power of control over federal highway funds to condition those dollars based on a state's changing its drinking age. And with that tactic, in a period of less than 5 years, they were able to get all 50 states at the 21-year-old drinking age. And now, over some 30 years, they've cut the number of deaths attributable to drunk driving in the United States almost in half.
Even with that high-minded notion of what can be possibly accomplished at the local level, don't you think Americans are kind of joining the rest of the world? You travel a lot. I travel a lot. People around the world in most places think of their government in extraordinarily cynical terms. It seems like America is coming to this like the rest of the world is coming to this. And Donald Trump is an oligarch. And most Americans look at the Putin thing and say, oh, it's just like Russia. It's just like, you know, we don't care.
John, I think what you've just said underscores the even greater importance of what we're doing. There's a group now which has come up with a complex data-driven system of evaluating when a democracy is moving towards authoritarianism. And it is distressing the number of countries that are on that list. For instance, recently Poland has gone from being the star of the emerging former communist Cold War states to being a democracy. Unfortunately, it now is in reverse and going back towards more authoritarianism. Turkey is another current example. And the United States is showing increasing steps towards the acceptance of a strong leader over a of, by, and for the people government. I think we need to act now, or 10 or 20 or 30 years from now, we could wake up with a much different America than the people who joined Alexander Hamilton thought they were creating.
What do you think this election represents? A complete breakdown of the Democratic system in the United States? It seems to me 27% of the people can't elect a president and expect to have a mandate to move forward with the rest of the country.
John, I think there are a lot of lessons to be learned from this election. One of them is the depth of people's sense of alienation from their government. My answer to the question of what do we do about this is to say, let's give people the skills that they will require to be actively involved so that they don't feel as if the thing I'm concerned with can only be dealt with if the candidate that I favor is elected. You as a citizen with your rights and responsibilities in this democracy can make a difference without having to rely on unelected politicians.
Much of the world has suggested that U.S. policy in the Middle East is governed by oil. Having Tillerson as Secretary of State, for their perspective, would say, yeah, okay, this is honest now. This is the way it is. This is the way it's always been. How do you respond to that?
I think oil has driven much of our feelings in not only U.S.-Russian relations, but relations in the Middle East. You may know I've been a longtime advocate for releasing all the information from 9/11 about the Saudi role in 9/11, which I think is that 9/11 would not have occurred but for the facilitation that the Saudis provided, and the American people have thus far been denied the information to assess whether Michael.
And not only that, the U.S. government is assisting the Saudis in the war in Yemen.
In Yemen,
which is causing a famine.
And thousands of people, innocent civilians, have been killed. So I think that, again, it's the bright light of sunshine, letting the American people know what their government is doing in relation to Russia, to Saudi Arabia, or any other country, which is the best palliative to excessive influence by a foreign government over U.S. policy.
You've always been energetic and dogged in all of your issues that you speak passionately about, and as an advocate for American democracy, the same. Yet, in light of what's happened, are you fearful?
I wouldn't use the word fearful. I would use the word I'm very concerned at the erosion that I see in the willingness of Americans to be actively involved in their democracy. From the days of de Tocqueville, who wrote about that the distinguishing characteristic of America was the engagement of its people. That's been part of the American dream. And I'm worried that if more and more people become distrustful, suspicious, and antagonistic towards government, that creates the environment in which a strong person like those who emerged in Europe in the 1920s and 30s out of a somewhat similar period of estrangement from government could happen in the United States.
And such a person would be the president of that 46% of Americans who didn't vote?
That could be. I hope that Mr. Trump does not have those kinds of aspirations or views of what American democracy is about. But he's going to be he is being tested now in this transition period, and even more so after January the 20th.
Senator Graham, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, John.